Goeiemôre geliefdes. Dankie vir julle wonderlike bydrae en eerlike opoffering, julle byvoeging tot die koninkryk van God finansiëel gewys vanoggend en elkeen van julle se teenwoordigheid hierso. Dis lekker om saam by mekaar te wees in die huis van die Here. Hy beloof ongeag hoe ons voel daaroor, wat ons sien, wat ons ervaar, waar twee of meer vergader is en in sy naam is, hy teenwoordig daarso. So wat hierdie plek spesiaal gemaak spesiaal maak vir oggend is, jy is baie, baie oulik, maar is nie spesiaal omdat jy hier so is. Dit is spesiaal omdat God se teenwoordigheid hier so is vir oggend, of jy dit sien of ervaar of nie, dis vir die woord sê, ons glo dit so. God said it, we believe it, that settles it. Amen. High five met mense rondom jou, dat hulle welkom voel in die huis van die Here vir oggend. Amen. High five julle, God is good. I trust you had a fruitful fast. For those of you that but it gewaag het, took the challenge on doing it for the first time, God bless you. I commend you in the Lord this morning. It doesn't matter how long or how short you fasted or how you fasted, what was important was the condition of your heart. And my encouragement to you is please don't wait till next year this time. When we proclaim a fast to do this. Live a fasted lifestyle. As the Lord lays it on your heart, every couple of weeks, every couple of months, skip a day or two or a couple of meals or two where you just fast and just have water to. And at that time when you're hungry, pray to the Lord. I've been obviously like many, many people in doing this for years, but this year, to be honest with you, I battled. I don't remember feeling this hungry before, you know. So if you weigh like 100 and plenty and you lose 5 kilograms, dis mos niks. Die mense gaan dit nie eens agterkom nie. Maybe it looks like just one of your little earlobes got like moved a little bit. But for a liggaampie soos myne, when you lose 5 kilograms, it's like jy moet rondspring in die stort om nat te word. But like even from small, you know, when I was young, I was so skinny, to give me an x-ray, they just used to hold me up to the light and dan kon die dokter sien wat. But yeah, so as you 5 kilos verloor, it's not all a challenge. But yeah, God is good. And I trust God that He's spoken into your heart and given you breakthrough. And if you're continuing with a fast, not only breaking it tonight, pray that your breakthrough comes. As we bring this week of prayer and fasting corporately as a body of Christ to a close, I said that we're going to continue with Revelation, and we are going to continue with Revelation, but not the book of Revelation. We're going to continue and we're going to speak about the revelation of who Jesus is. And the title of this message this morning is called, Who is this man? I've recently, on a recommendation from people, starting to watch that movie Chosen. And there's so much about it that's unscriptural. And yet there's so much in there that is from Scripture. It's like incredible. And one thing that it's got going for it, in the beginning from series one, it basically says to you, make sure you read the Bible. That's my encouragement to you. I don't know what the spiritual condition is of the people who put it together and stuff like that. So you always got to take it with a pinch of salt. And I'm not looking for ghosts and spooks beyond elke rots and klip and so on. But I'm wary of things just to make sure that it's scriptural. And I remember years ago, also the criticism that was brought out against the book and the movie, The Shack. I think there was a movie or whatever. I think what I got out of it is that at the very, very least, it got people who were otherwise not looking at the Gospels, not looking at Jesus, not looking at the Bible, it got them questioning Jesus, questioning and wanting, it stirred a curiosity in people that there was otherwise not before. So I'm not saying I'm for the Chosen or I'm against the Chosen. All I'm saying is that when you're watching it, just make sure that you let the Holy Spirit guide you. And by the way, to be honest with you, I'm thoroughly enjoying it because ek het nie gister begin om die Bybel te lees. And the Holy Spirit is my guide. He's my teacher. He's the voice that I listen to and follow. So I found chronologically there were things that were unscriptural. Maar tot dusver, en ek is by seisoen 3 al, there's nothing that's heretic. There's nothing that's sacrilegious. So that's been stirring things in my heart there, and the way the characters portray certain things has got me thinking about certain stuff. And it was difficult with the fast, I'll be honest with you, because oftentimes Jesus and his disciples are getting together and they're eating, you know. And it's been a challenge. But this is called Who Is This Man? Who is this man? And the passage I'd like to read this morning is from Luke chapter 8, verse 22 and 25. And I pray that the Holy Spirit dat hy ons help vanoggend om ons in die storie in te leef. That we can take our minds and our lives out of the modern day stuff that we have today, back to the day and age, and try and understand and figure out, hoe was dit werkelijk waar vir hulle gewees? What was it like for this radical, radical, radical figure that comes in and just messes everything up? Because Jesus said himself, I have not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword that's going to divide people apart. They were expecting a new political system and like a physical kingdom to come and be established. And he comes and he brings a message of salvation. And he just messed stuff up. And I can imagine the questions like, who is this man? And we see this happening here. So the story is in Luke chapter 8 from verse 22. And it reads as follows in the NLTSE. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Wat het Jesus in gedachte gehad, mense? Waar was die bestemming in sy gedagtes? The other side. So they got into the boat and they started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. What does that tell you about Jesus? He got tired. Menslik, the Son of God part of Jesus was in terms of his humanity, not his existence. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. What does that say to us about when you're doing exactly what God tells you to do? Goeters gebeur nog. Die popo en die pisang en die sly, any whatever, die komkommer, slutty fan. Even when you're doing exactly what Jesus Christ tells you to do. Hierdie Christenskap wandel van ons, waar ons besluit om ons kruis op 'n daaglikse basis te dra, draai nie altyd uit soos wat ons wil hê, mense. Dit werk nie altyd so nie. Daar's dinge wat gebeur wat ons nie kan verstaan nie. Ons kry nie antwoord in die skrif nie, ons kry nie 'n antwoord by die pastoore nie, ons bid, daar gebeur niks nie, maar die lewe gebeur. That's what happens. Their lives were in danger. Dis nie net 'n nice Friday afternoon thunderstorm in Gauteng. Their lives were in danger while doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Verse 24. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, you can imagine, "Wat wakker!" Like, wake up. Wie van julle het al ooit so gevoel? Lord, like, where are you? Could you just give me an answer, please? Kan jy nie sien waartoe ek gaan nie? Ek kan nie meer nie, Here. You just wish God would wake up. You just wish that you could experience the God that the people in the Bible experienced. Is anybody hearing this morning? And they started shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly, folks, I wonder what that looked like. Have you seen what it's like when we experience storms? Ek weet nie hoe jy dit ervaar nie, maar waar ons bly hier so gewoonlik kom van daai kant af. Is dit nie so nie? Dit kom van daai kant af. You see it there. Gewoonlik, wat kom jy eers agter as jy bietjie wakker is? Dit ruik anders. Dan begin die temperatuur te val, of andersom miskien, maar dit gebeur. En dan is dit nie meer so helder in die dag nie. It's not as bright. And the clouds start covering. And then you start hearing die donder weer, the thunder, the lightning. And then, I'm talking like a serious thunderstorm. And then it starts dissipating. The rain goes in and then, but this year, suddenly, imagine. We don't think about these things. You can imagine what was going through the minds of these people. These were experienced fishermen. I'm talking the I and J of the day. Hierdie ouens het geweet hoe. He rebukes the waves. He rebukes the storm. Okay? And suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm in verse 25. And then he asked him, I don't think he said, where's your faith, you doffies? It's like, where's your faith? Like, guys, come on, man. He says, where's your faith? And the disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. So folks, I wonder what it was like for the disciples. Here's this guy. He starts getting a reputation. Okay, they know this guy must be a rabbi. But he's not like the rabbis that we already used to. Dis nie die gewone ou pastoor Mozzie soos die pastoor Koos of Kobus of Piet of whatever. This guy is different. There's something different about this man. When he does things, he doesn't tell the people, go and brag about it and tell everybody because I'm here. When he does things, he, especially at that time, he hadn't told him, his time was not yet to be revealed as the Messiah. Little bit by little bit, he started his public ministry already, started doing a few miracles here and there, but he hadn't gotten to the point where he started telling them, I am the Messiah. They must say, well, who is this man? He speaks differently. His attitude is different. It's not all about the pomp and the fare and the glory and the splendor. He doesn't have the normal, typical church clothes. Wie van julle, okay, ek weet, is obviously heel waarschijnlijk nie die geval in hierdie gemeente, want so stel ek, watse klere gaan ek vandag kerk toe dra? Ek meen, ons kom kerk toe in ons kortbroek en ons plakkies, man. Hello. But if you come to church dressed more formally, that's also cool. Jy weet, daar's gevalle waar ek mense trou, wat dalk nie in die biking community is, dan dag ek daar op en by het suit in my tie en so, en ek vraag die mense, wat is julle kleerskema vir die troue? Dan trek ek 'n toepaslike suit aan en 'n das wat inpas by daar kleerskema. Dan kom ek aan die mense sê, o, nou lyk jy soos 'n pastoor. Waar kry ons dit vandaan, julle? Hoe lyk 'n pastoor? And I'm so glad that I can be me. Gister het ek in diskem gestaan. Ek het tekkies aan gehad, a short longs or long shorts, ek weet nou nog nie, but it's covering my cycling tan and a top. En hier kom over na graf. Hy sê, so, moet 'n pastoor lyk. En hy skud my hand. And it's somebody that used to fellowship with us. I had a few chances of discipling this man. He said, so moet 'n pastoor lyk. And I wondered what it's like for Jesus. Spoke differently, acted differently, dressed differently, you know. A craftsman worked with his hands, you know. Didn't put on a show, all the typical clothing of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees and the refused to sees. He was just different. They said, who is this man? When he gives a command, even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, here's what's even more amazing. From Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abram to Jesus, 2,000 years. From him to us now is also 2,000 years. But for 2,000 years odd, they were hearing about the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. Now imagine this. Imagine you're a motorcycling enthusiast and your favorite brand is whatever it is. Ek wil nie op toene trap volgende nie. Mense moet nie aansoot neem volgende nie. So your favorite brand is motorcycle ABC or BMW, whatever it is. Whatever floats your boat. And you hear about the newest model. And you check on social media and people tell you about it and there's all this hype and hype. And then you start looking for it or whatever. And then you check the places where the bikers hang out and the bike launches or the showroom floors and the dealerships. And you go to all the dealerships or whatever. And then the bike comes and goes without you even noticing. You're like, with the very thing you're looking for comes and goes without you even noticing it. What happened in the lives of people that we're looking forward to the Messiah. Mense, ons, ek sê, daar's nie 'n mens in hierdie gebou vanoggend wat kan vereenselwig met dit waardeur die Israeliete gegaan het in die terme van hulle is 'n volk wat gewoond aan is om to be persecuted, to be captive, to be held bondage. We don't know that we don't come from generation after generation after generation of slavery and bondage and captivity, do we? Nee. Ons besluit ons, jy gaan nie vir my sê wat ek maak jou wel. Niemand sê vir my niks nie. Dis hoe ons is. Is dit nie so nie? Come on, don't act religious with me this morning, man. These people, what happened in the lives of these people that were used to, everything was difficult. Nothing was easy. Everything was difficult. What happened in their lives that they did not recognize the Messiah? When they have the scriptures there for years and years and years, what happened that they did not see that this is the Messiah? If you look at the mathematical chance of just one of the prophecies being fulfilled that Jesus fulfilled, it's like 10 to the power of, I don't know what, impossible that it can't happen. And he's fulfilled 200 and something of them already. There are some that are still unfulfilled that's still going to happen. But the chances of that happening, it's like somebody numbering every single grain of sand in the depths of the oceans, telling you to go and find it. Then you being dropped somewhere in the sea, and there where you land, you reach down, or you get down to the bottom, you pick it up and you find that single grain of sand. That particular one that's been numbered and marked for you to sort out. That's the chances of Jesus not being the one that the prophecies had spoken about. And yet today, as you and I sit here in this atmosphere, listening to the words of God, we're not pointing fingers at any group of people, there's Jewish people that have still not yet recognized Jesus as the Messiah because of the few prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. What happened in their lives that they didn't recognize that this is the Messiah? That they would say, who is this man? You think, yeah, yes, they must have been a bunch of dwarf people, eh, Mozzie? Okay, let's fast forward to 2024, the 28th of January, as we sit here, waiting for breakthroughs in our lives, wondering, wanneer gaan dinge verander in hierdie land? Wanneer gaan daar verandering plaasvind in die regering? The people of the day in the day of Jesus wanted exactly the same thing, expecting somebody to come like King David and overthrow the government. And he came, and what he was about was establishing a new kingdom. A new kingdom. So maybe in our lives, ons uiter dit miskien nie, maar ons hier binne in vra ons, Here, waar is u? When are you going to be the God of the Bible? When are you going to be the one that the preachers speak about all the time? Wanneer gaan u die een wees wat vir my my deurbraak bring? Wat vir my my wonderwerk gaan bring in my lewe? When are you going to be this one, Jesus? And as we come off this fast, our prayer is, may we continue to fervently grow in our knowledge of who Jesus is. And by that we mean that we continue to discover the depths of his love for us as his plan gets unfolded in our lives. May we have this hunger. Soos ek gesê het, ek kan nie onthou wanneer ek laas so honger was, but may that be a spiritual longing in our hearts to hunger and thirst after the things of Jesus, to get to know him. I'm saying, not just the stories of Jesus in the Bible, but who he is in your life, that you can really have a Jesus like is described in Colossians 3 and verse 3, where your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. That which you know about Jesus, is it something that you've heard from a big mouth like me? Something you got in a text, or is it something that Jesus has revealed to you? You've had a personal encounter with Jesus. While we speak about fasting, remember years ago, I was still a detective I'd lost a lot of weight in a fast. And my clothes were like hanging on me. And I think just like, Lord, what am I going to wear? I remember the Lord saying, and at that time, I hadn't memorized the scripture. I didn't know it. I felt the Spirit say to me, I'll dress you in the armor of light. And I thought, okay, this must be scriptural. You know, because if you feel you hear or get something from God, always make sure it's written between Genesis and maps. And it must be there. So I searched the scriptures. Truth, Bob, there's a scripture that speaks about the armor of light. I'm like, phew. Okay. I can fart at my sur here. Okay. So and that was something the Lord gave to me. Verstaan jy? Ek het nie onder 'n preek gesit waar die ou bedien het oor the armor of light. That's an example of my life hidden with God in Christ Jesus. The things that God has revealed to you, that He's revealed to you. How much of Jesus do you know from that? Okay, and they ask, who is this man? And so our prayer is that we'd personally experience the work of Jesus in our lives and not just a knowledge of what the Bible says about Him, as good as what it is, but that we'd personally experience Jesus. As we bring this fast to a close, may we continue to press in and lean forward and discover, who is this Jesus? Mensa, there's nothing worthwhile in life that doesn't cost you something. It's going to cost you something. If something comes easy, guess what? It's going to go easy. And getting something that's transformative, not just informative, transformative, that really changes who you are, is going to cost something in your life. You see, the hidden things of God and the mysteries of God are done in such a way, not so that we can never discover them, maar ons, laat ons die effort insit, laat ons die moeite doen, that we do the necessary and put in effort in discovering the things that God has for us. Is this ministering to somebody this morning, church? And the things of God are like this. And here's an example of a woman that has something like this in her life. How many of you, don't raise your hands this morning, but have something right now. You just wish God would have answered this prayer a long time ago. You just wish it was already done and settled by God a long time ago. Ek het gesê, moenie julle hande opsteek nie, but I'm putting up my hand and saying, yes, God, I just wish this was done already. I just wish that this breakthrough had already come. Here's a woman that had something like this. In Luke chapter 8. Read from verse 42b, the B part, because the B part ends and gives us the backdrop of the kind of crowd, well, the crowd around Jesus. But as he went, the multitudes thronged. It says it only in the King James. Other translation just speaks about the crowds that circled him, were around him, you know. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. Why did we choose this verse? What did it take for this woman? 12 years, spent all her livelihood, no doctors, could do anything. For how many of you does that sound familiar? Geen pilletjies, geen dokters. The doctors have practiced what they practiced, and you go to him and you pay him for you to tell him what's wrong with you. Maar dis waar ons is, julle. And if you're a doctor, or you know a doctor, God bless you, we love you, you have a role to play in society. But moving on. Hulle het alles gedoen. So imagine having a continuous blood flow for 12 years. There's no cure. Can you imagine how weak this woman was? What did it take for her to press through a thronging crowd to get to Jesus? She had the faith to know, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could, he doesn't have to talk to me, he doesn't have to lay hands on me, he doesn't have to drive demons out. He doesn't have to do anything. I'm willing to do it all. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to pay the price. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know. And why did she know that? Because of what she'd heard. She hadn't seen it. Because of what she'd heard, she believed. Doubting Thomas wanted to see the wounds in Jesus' hands and his side before he believed. What? did he not recognize him? Imagine, his face hadn't changed. He probably saw it's the same Jesus, but it was still so amazing and too unbelievably good to be true. He needed more proof. And Jesus said, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that believe yet had not seen. Guess what? Blessed are you. Blessed are you because you believe and you've not yet seen. Blessed are you. And she pressed forward. She touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. Jesus felt energy, power, whatever, go out of him. He felt something happen. He felt somebody that has this kind of faith has touched me. She had to get through a thronging crowd. What is it that you have to get through to get your next breakthrough from Jesus? Have you seen, I don't know why it comes to mind, I don't even use them, but when the new iPhone comes out and they know it's going to be launched, have you seen other people camp outside the closed iPhone stores to get the next iPhone that are available? Ek weet nie of het hier in Suid-Afrika gebeur by die iStores nie, but in America, it's like that. That's how desperate they are to get in. And then you get these other specials at chain stores, supermarkets, where their specials are. Now the people barge in to get what they want. Het jy gesien hoe beklei hulle oor sekere somethings to get there? What's the point? Who is this that somehow can change lives like this? Each one of us here, he was nie first time visitors hier so vanoggend nie. Was dit een? Iemand nie? Een. 'N klomp. Was die first time visitors hier so? Eerste keer hier so julle. Baie baie welkom. Ek hoop julle voel tuis. Ek dink wel teen die tyd is dit lankal te laat, nê. Jy het of aanstoot geneem of jy het iets gekry by die Here so ver. Oh, what was I going to say now? Ag, die Here help my. Oh no. Oh, well, what's the point? The point is, I don't know what the point was, but what is it that we say elke dag wat ek my trek so verloor nie, but yeah, what is in our way of getting to know this Jesus like this? You know, is it maybe waking up a little bit earlier? Daar's al klaar 'n paar mense wat getuienisse met my gedeel het oor wat met hulle gebeur het, wat hulle ervaring was in hierdie tydperk van gebed en vas. The experiences, what was it like? Giving up social media, not looking at the news or social media or something like that. You know, what is it? Maybe, what is it that you have to give up? Well, that pride of, hoekom het hy gaan om verskoning gevra? Verskoning vra, ek het niks te doen nie in elk geval. I didn't do anything wrong. They done it against me. I remember the first time I went to somebody and apologized for something that I felt they'd done to me. I apologized and I said, no, not because I'm special. The Lord laid this on my heart because it was stopping me from hearing God properly. Het jy gehoor wat ek gesê het? It was stopping me from hearing God properly. Because I let a root of bitterness and unforgiveness settle in my heart. I did nothing to them. Seriously now, they're like genuine, I'm not even lying. I said, I'm apologizing because I've let a root of bitterness and unforgiveness build up in my heart towards you. I'm asking you to forgive me for letting that build up in my heart for what you've done. And I've been reminded that the only difference between you and me is one decision away. Mense, ons moet asseblief nie vir 'n oomblik dink ons het gearriveer of ons is oulik omdat ons Christen is. Wie hoekom sê ek so, julle? Any one of us right now, you are one decision away from total disaster in your life. One decision away from total disaster in your life. How many of you remember what it was like the first time you backslid? You'd given your heart to Jesus, things started changing, started walking with him, and then, what happened? Unfortunately, he was there to pick us up. What did I say to them? Good question, Shanae. I'm so glad people can just, it gemak om te vra hier so sommer in 'n preek. I like it like that. It shouldn't be a one-way street. It's lekker like it. I said, I just want to let you know that because of what you've done, I've allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to settle in my heart, and it's hindered me in my walk with God. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I thought I'd forgiven you for what I'm asking you to forgive me. And needless to say, Sinead, the person just cried, started crying, and there was a huge breakthrough spiritually and connection again afterwards. So I asked them to forgive me for the bitterness and hardness that I'd let develop in my heart. And I'm not even lying. I didn't do anything to the person. It was something that a person done that affected many, and I let it get to me, you know. So maybe that's your crowd that you need to push through. Maybe it's you having to make that phone call or going to go see that person or I don't know what it is. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to people this morning, church, that God will show you what it is that you need to do to get the breakthrough like this woman needed to do. She had to press through those crowds. So remember how hungry you felt during the fall. Maybe that's funny, you're seeker, but now nog vanoggend hier sit and you're hungry, and all I'm talking about is hungry. I'm going to move on. Let that become a spiritual hunger in your life also. As we start to bring this thing to a close, Isaiah 61 is a messianic prophecy about Jesus. Verse 1 to 3 in Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against the enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks." He's a great oak there, eh? It's a great oak. "Great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory." So what's that about? So in our desperate seek for Jesus, in our pressing in going through the crowds and the things and the obstacles that stop us from discovering who is this man, may we find this Jesus that brings this here. The one who brings the good news, the one who comforts the brokenhearted and proclaims liberty to the captives to be released. Okay? To tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and God's anger is against the enemies, and that those who mourn will receive beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. That describes six aspects of breakthrough that God brings, and six aspects of how God brings breakthrough and change in people's lives. Now, this is what it was like when Jesus read that prophecy. He was invited to speak in a synagogue during his ministry, and he chose that passage of scripture to read from. So the structure was the proper way to do a sermon. It would be a 7-point sermon. 7 points. Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads the 6 points, and he puts it down and he stops, and the crowd wait like, okay, where's your 7th point? They're waiting for the conclusion, the climax, the highlight, the cherry on the top of the sermon. And Jesus sits down. We don't see it in the Bible. We don't see it in the Bible. But he sits down, and he is the 7th point of the sermon. He is the full fulfillment, the culmination of that passage of Scripture. He is the 7th point of that passage. And I can imagine they asked, like, okay, like, Rabbi, when are you going to continue? When are you going to finish? When are you going to bring us to the close? When are you going to bring us your interpretation? When are you going to bring us your understanding of this passage of Scripture? And I can imagine the questions that followed. And guess what they did? They took him out, and it's then that they wanted to just get rid of him. Take him now, ons gaan hom nou vernietig, because this can't be. Yeah. Imagine what it was like for even his, because Jesus had stepbrothers and sisters that were born to Joseph and Mary after he was born. You can imagine when it got, he starts doing these miracles, and they realize, okay, this brother of ours, when he preaches a sermon, wow, you know. And guess what? He's even done these incredible miracles now. He's done it at a wedding. He turned the water into wine and stuff like that. So it's the good preaching. It's the miracles. What was it like for them when he got to the point where he said, I am the Messiah. I think that was the last straw. Now, this is too much. We can handle that, yeah, you're a good rabbi, good teacher. The miracles, yeah, look, there's something special about you. But you, the Messiah, you the one that's spoken of. You the fulfillment of this passage of Isaiah. You the one that is the law of Moses. Everything that the law spoken about, all the prophecies. You the one, you're claiming it is you. You my stepbrother, bro. Who do you think you are? Who is this man that even his own family would leave him? And say, oh, we want nothing to do with the soap, man. We don't mind a little bit of different, but this is too radical. This is too extreme. You think, yeah, well, that's what it was like for them. Miskien julle is dit dan so met ons in ons lewens nou. Kom ons raak regwaar nederig voor die Here vanoggend sê, no, I'm willing to go to church now and again. I'm willing to pray. And, you know, maybe if somebody asked me, maybe I'll tell them that I'm a Christian and stuff like that. But you want me to lay down my life? So, Mozzie, what you're saying is you actually want me to change my habits? You actually want me to change my circle of friends? You want to change the way I speak, the way I live? You want to change what I watch, what I eat, what I drink? You want me to change all of this? Who is this man that asks this of me? Who is this man? Who's this man? He's the way, the truth, the life, the one who was and who is to come, the great I am, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, the rock of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the names can go on and on and on. That's who he is. Who's this man? Close with this, John 21 and verse 25. Jesus also did many other things, and if they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. There's so much about Jesus that you and I still need to discover. There's so much about him that I think I know. There's so much about him that we still need to discover for ourselves. Church, I'm done preaching. May the Holy Spirit help us to discover who this Jesus is. Who is this man for you? For your situation, where you are, for your challenges, the things that you are going through. Let's celebrate and worship who Jesus is in our lives. Almighty God, we bless you and we praise you. We give you thanks for who you are, Jesus Christ. There truly is none like you. Father, thank you for what you've shown us. Thank you for what we've learned. Thank you for what we've come to understand. But God, we are righteously unsatisfied, Lord. We want more. And if we feel that it's okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, create in us a godly dissatisfaction, a hunger and thirst for the things of God like never before. Create in us a new desire for you to know you, Jesus. That we would ask, who is this Jesus? Who is this man? That we would get to know you more like never before, Father. I pray for radical breakthrough, Lord God, as we end our fast. As a body, Lord God, I thank you that we will still get to experience the godly benefits and the ripple effect of what you're going to continue to do in our lives as we bring this to a close, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your blessing be upon us that we can go in turn and be a blessing to others. To the praise and glory of your name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. Yes, I'll announce it next week. Okay. Bless you guys. Thank you for making the time for listening. Just redeem myself. I'm going to ask that the guys just play a song for us in the background as we go our separate ways. God bless you. Have a good day further. And if you're not able to make it this evening, God willing, we'll see each other next week. Thank you.